Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. Kind of an odd thing today. I just popped in the Ravens home opener, overall opener, a 9-1-96. Watched the whole thing again while I'm sitting here at my computer. And I got to taking some notes, and I thought maybe I just tweet some stuff from that game. And then I thought there's an awful lot of notes on this page. Maybe I'll just do a quick podcast on it. So that's what I'm doing. Not sure if I'll do this again, but from time to time, as the spirit strikes me and I rewatch a game, I'm thinking I might take this up. But that 9-1-96 game, I'm sure there are a lot of people who remember where they were, particularly if they were there. But there's also probably a lot of young people who don't remember the game, you know, never got to see it really. And there's a lot of people who are at the game who really don't remember what happened, except in general terms that, hey, Vinny Testaverde scored and the Ravens, you know, won on a touchdown by Ernest Biner. And there was some other stuff that happened. But anyway, I'm going to take you through a little bit of this ball game and talk about a few of the things that occurred, including some of the off-field stuff, because that really dominated the day. And I just think we'll go through this. I'm doing this show solo, obviously. So one of the things that's on there right at the tape at the beginning is a diatribe from Bob Costas, a man that I really respected for many years. This was one of the things that I did not like about his career. Very venomous anti-Baltimore rant before the game, the kind of thing that I don't think should have been on TV. Honestly, I don't know how he became less of a villain than Bob Trumpy out of this, but saying basically the Browns never should have moved, yada, yada, yada. This, of course, continued with then an interview of Bob Trumpy in the booth. Now, a little history of Bob Trumpy. The Colts, when they were bad in the late 70s and early 80s, got Bob Trumpy a lot as the announcer because he was on the last crew. And so they would get Bob Trumpy, and it'd be, can't we get anybody good to do our games kind of thing? And that just kind of sucked. Well, Trumpy made some comments prior to the game suggesting that Baltimore shouldn't have gotten a team. The Ravens at the NBC in their wisdom then decided they would assign Bob Trumpy to the game because, of course, you want the, you know, anything to inflate a game like this. And the Ravens handed out dump Trumpy signs outside. I believe the Ravens handed them out. Actually, they might have been in the newspaper, but people had them at the stadium anyway. And they saw fit in the booth to have the announcer of the game show one of the signs to Trumpy, and Trumpy had kind of backpedal and explain how, oh yeah, this is the fans' day. They don't want to make me the enemy. The Oakland Raiders will have something to say about this, yada, yada. But Trumpy, just an insufferable announcer. A lot of the things about his announcing of the game are really not too bad. He's fairly insightful about telling you, you know, where players are in relation to each other at this point in his career, 20 years in. There's kind of a anti-Baltimore venom that you feel during the game. I think the best thing would have been if NBC just left him out of this, but of course they wanted the controversy, and that was to be had there. So we've got Costas and Trumpy at the top of this. And then we get back to really making this about Baltimore. Before we do that, I'll just move on to one more NBC thing. They announced must-see TV that night. Must-see TV at that point was a combination of Third Rock from the Sun and Boston Commons. You just had to see that. By the way, two terrible shows. Just couldn't stand him. But anyway, get back to the football in the Baltimore. Johnny Unitas out there at midfield presenting the football to be played. They leaned on Colts history a lot in those early years, which I think was a good thing. They didn't really have their own history yet, and so they wanted the history of Baltimore football and did a good job with that for years. A lot of things went right about this game from the Ravens, but I think that the play of the two rookies was one of the most interesting story of the day. And of course, the fourth overall draft pick, John Ogden, played that year at left guard rather than at left tackle, as we all know him as the multi-tone Pro Bowlers. The Ravens had Tony Jones, number 66, playing left tackle. He was a pretty good player, and he was at the end of a contract that he would be it would be his last year with the Ravens. Ogden playing left guard had a fairly difficult game on the interior, particularly in the first half, when an enormous defensive tackle, pair of enormous defensive tackles, Russell Maryland, who a lot of people know, played for years, including on that 2000 team that faced the Ravens in the AFC Championship game, but also a guy named, let me get this name right, Jerry Ball is the guy's name. He had played for a long time in the NFL. He was around until he was 35 years old. Total of, looks like, about 13 seasons in the NFL. Listed at 330 pounds in PFR. That may have been true at one time. It was not true at this time. The guy was bigger than Sam Adams and bigger than Michael Pierce this last year. He's an absolutely enormous guy who barely fits in his uniform. And he frankly gave Ogden a lot of trouble in this game. And that was something that was, you know, a little disappointing to see. Ogden got his first hold fairly early in the game. First hold of his career, obviously, and he also got his first pancake on Russell Maryland. So that was nice to see. They used him as a pulling guard a couple times in the game, but the Ravens didn't really pull too much in this offense. What else? The offense kind of no huddle based. Now, Trumpy, this is another thing I just couldn't stand, is he wanted to call it an at the line of scrimmage offense. That's okay. It's still a no huddle offense, even if it's not a fast no huddle offense. They basically were forcing no defensive substitutions out of that Oakland defense, which proved to be very useful as the Ravens took the game over offensively in the second half. And that Raiders defense was extremely tired. They went back to pictures of them hands on hips the entire second half. One of the things you really look for in a tired defense. So that was nice to see. The Ravens, as many people know, Vinny Testaverde scored their first touchdown on a run play. They had a nice drive, 85 yards for a touchdown. It was really their big drive of the first half. They didn't do a lot else on offense in that first half. But Testaverde had a couple completed passes and ran it in from about 12 yards out or so. Handed the ball to a fan. And this is one of these cases. Boy, if it was me, I had that football, I'd have probably rather had my colon removed than handed back. That is a piece of Baltimore history, and you really want it. And, you know, I give it on loan to the Ravens? Sure. Give it on loan to the Babe Ruth Museum? Sure. Those are reasonable options. That giving that ball back, which is something that the fan apparently did, we don't know what coercive acts were made to try and give back that ball. We're going to throw you out of the stadium. We're going to do that. Doesn't belong to you, blah, blah, blah. They could have used any number of lies, but basically once that ball is handed to a fan, it's his. But the fan anyway, gave it back. It's a piece of Baltimore history. I'm sure it's on display somewhere at the castle. I'm not sure exactly where, but that fan is probably kicking himself for the $75,000 football he gave away at this point. In any case, one of the nice things to see about that no-huddle offense was that they consistently caught the Raiders with 12 men on the field. They did that twice. And then also in a number of offsides penalties, which were quite costly. And in particular, Pat Swilling, looking to get a head start on Tony Jones at left tackle, was offsides a number of times. And he did get a sack in the game, had some good ability to get around Jones, but Jones also paid for it in terms of these offsides penalties. So that was one of the kind of interesting things of the game. I mentioned we talk about both rookies, but Ogden, a forgettable day, frankly, with a holding call, and he was involved, partially responsible, I would judge, on one of the sacks of Testaverde. So they were multiple problems. Testaverde did not have a very clean pocket to work with for much of the day, despite the Ravens' enormous offensive line. It's supposed to be a great run blocking line. We'll talk about it sometimes wistfully as one of the biggest relatively sized Ravens offensive line. They didn't have anybody that's the size of Ben Cleveland, for example, but they did have a lot of very large players. And it was a line that could push people around a little bit.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code Ravens. So head to mood.com/Ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code Ravens when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab. Also, on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, the greatest pass blocking day, certainly in that game. Ray Lewis on the other side of the ball, very unusual Ray Lewis performance. The first time he's mentioned on the broadcast is for a missed tackle, and Trumpy is really on him about it, and that's okay. And then the next play he makes, he picked the ball from between Ricky Dudley's legs for an interception in the end zone, and he would go on to win the AFC Defensive Player of the Week that week, and in his first NFL game. And we think, oh, that must have been a typical kind of Ray Lewis game. It really wasn't. In his first year, Ray Lewis was a two-down linebacker for most of the season, and he was pulled off the field so that Benny Thompson could go in and play the quarter. That's the replacement for the Mike linebacker in a 7-DB formation on most third downs. There's some interesting shots of like a third and four scene that I've posted before that you can look at number 52 standing next to the yard marker, or the down marker, I should say, on a shot from the Ravens defensive sideline. So it's an unusual place for Ray to be, but he had a good game, made some nice tackles, looked every bit the hitter, and the play to remove the ball from between Dudley's legs and not allow it to hit the game, the ground, is a little reminiscent, even though Suggs did it with his own legs, of that interception he had in the 2014 playoff game at Pittsburgh. So it was just one of those plays, and Ray, of course, had the award in his first game. What else do we need to talk about? The defensive line for the Ravens played pretty well in this game, I thought. Definitely were fast. Rob Burnett got the first Ravens sack. He also drew a very key holding penalty at one point in the game. It didn't end up being accepted because it was on a third down, but it would have given the Ravens the option had they allowed a first down conversion. It was towards the end of the game when the Ravens got the ball back. They didn't, I believe it was then that they did not then give it up again. So it had a hand in ending the drive that effectively ended the game. So that was, certainly a positive thing. The rest of the Ravens line, pretty high quality set of players. The problem was they just had injury after injury. And I've mentioned occasionally, but this was a 4-3 defense that was forced by personnel loss to move to a 3-4 defense as the season progressed. Now, wonderful that Marvin Lewis can adapt to the players he has. Not wonderful that would actually happen. So it was kind of a interesting season for the Ravens defense. And eventually that's really what let them down, was they didn't really have the defensive depth to keep up with their injuries as the season moved on. And that kind of prevented them from staying with a very effective no huddle offense that was pretty much unstoppable. They scored a lot of points when they were in no huddle. Jackson and Alexander were both big weapons, and they did some good things offensively when they were playing fast and keeping the defense on the field. Oh, let's see what else we got here. Testaverde, the runner in this game, was very impressive. It wasn't just the very first touchdown run, which was, you know, a nice realization that he had an opportunity there. Several other runs during the game. He had something like 9 rushes for 45 yards in the game. I'll go back and take a look at it real quick here. 8 for 42, it says here. So I'm not sure if they might have called it differently, but they had it 9 for 45 on the broadcast, which is okay. So anyway, really impressive first down run in the second half, where he deked a defender into thinking he was going to the ground. He let up on him, and then he broke free for about another 5 or 6 yards. That was a fairly big first down play for the Ravens that helps. I believe that set up a field goal by Stover. Stover, worth mentioning here, when he took the field for his first attempt of the game, so this is following the 1995 season, his career success percentage was 80.6%. That was the highest in NFL history at that time. So the field goal percentage record has improved by almost 10 percentage points in the years since. And that's, of course, held by Tucker today, or I believe it is anyway. Still, I know Young Yee had it for a moment there for Atlanta before he missed 2 out of 3 in a game. The Ravens' final drive, and one of the other kind of unknown players from this game, Ernest Hunter, fumbled a kickoff for the Ravens. It was a very big play. The Ravens got the ball back on Ray Lewis's interceptions. It didn't end up costing them immediately in terms of a score, but then there was an exchange of possessions and they did end up scoring the next touchdown. Ernest Hunter came back with his only catch for the Ravens, and it was a 23-yard play that occurred on the game-winning drive, which eventually ended on Beiner's short touchdown run. Beiner made sure to hold on to that football, didn't give it away, but he dove in. Carwell Gardner, how close is just missing out on history? Carwell Gardner on the previous run was very, very close to getting in. It might have been challenged, and it might have, frankly, been reversed from the on-field call, which was just short. And they actually had the spot probably about 3/4 of a yard off anyway, but anyway, it might have been reversed, might have been a touchdown. Carwell Gardner scores that. Of course, he's the game-winning touchdown from the Ravens' first game, but that's not the way it worked out. So, great day of football, beautiful day for football. The biggest crowd in Baltimore history. They put in some additional seats and had 64,000 and change there for that game. I remember in the Colts days, used to be 60,000 was a complete sellout, 60,000 change. 64,496 were the tickets distributed. 64,124, according to the game book, were in attendance. So only 372 tickets went unused, which is good to hear. We had our moment. The football was back in Baltimore. Certainly a great game here. And the rest of the season, of course, didn't go as well for the Ravens for some of the reasons I mentioned before, but largely a lot of injuries to the defense and not being able to hold up. The Ravens had the lead a lot at halftime. If you look at things like DVOA, they actually are not bad at all in terms of how they look. They certainly do not look like a 4-12 team, but they would win 4 games all at home, including that monumental win against the Rams in overtime that was a thriller and had so many cross currents of history that we've talked about before. But this first game was really special in its own right. Nice to, I guess, in some ways to have Trumpy there to witness it and have to witness it, but then we had to hear him. So I'm not sure if we got a good trade-off on that, but a great game to watch. And I just thought, rather than put this up on Twitter, that I do a quick pod on this. If you guys would like to hear these kind of pods, let me know. DM me on Twitter, or if you think they don't really work as content when you go solo, let me hear that as well. I'm fine. DMs are always open on Twitter. If you have a different idea for how to present this kind of material, that's fine as well. Love to hear from you. Other folks out there, I'm doing a historical set of pods this offseason on individual players from prior to, from Ravens history who are not at the top tier of players. And I want to hear from you and DM me again, always open. Tell me the player you want. I'm giving highest priority to any people who want to do players from prior to 2000. So if that means your dad has to get involved because you weren't really watching football at that time, that's cool. Get them involved and try and get some new people on the show to discuss some old time Ravens. Anybody wants to discuss Eric Turner or Stevon Moore or Caldwell, the linebacker, or Rob Burnett lasted until the Super Bowl team, but he's a player a lot of people don't know very much about today. But some good players there and worth discussing. I'd love to hear from you. We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab. Also, on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.